All right. As I mentioned to you, I think last time, I'd like to spend a few shiurim now looking carefully at the parsha of Bilam. Basically, parsha Balak, although the truth is we're going to start a little bit at the end of parsha Kukat. I'll take a little bit of a look also in Dvarim. But I want to really, really analyze the nevuot of Bilam. I mentioned to you, I think, at the outset, the name that I've chosen for this whole discussion, Am Levadad Yishkon, thank you, is, of course, a statement offered by Bilam. But more than that, I've often felt that Bilam's nivuot, and the visions that Bilam had, if properly understood, can give us a huge insight, perhaps the clearest, or one of the clearest and most eloquent descriptions of what Am Yisrael is all about, I think can be found in the Nevuot of Bilam. But in order to understand the Nevuot, we have to see them in context. So we're going to start now with the end of Parshat Chukat. Maybe the second half of the Parsha. And let's set the stage here. Okay, we're going to pick this up in Bamidbar, Perek Chaf. Bamidbar, Perek Chaf. Okay, to set the stage, we're now in the 40th year after Am Yisrael has left Mitzrayim. And after Chet HaMeraglim, they wandered in the Midbar for 40 years, and now it's the 40th year, and Am Yisrael is getting ready to enter into Eretz Canaan. Now, if you look at the map that's in front of you, it's important to understand what's going on here. The truth is, although I just photocopied this map and gave it to you, it's not the best map available, but it's the best one I could find. Bnei Yisrael at this time were in a place called Kadesh Barnea, and that is to the southwest of Yam HaMelach, not to be found right now on this map. They were going to be entering into Eretz Canaan from, as you know, from Sefer Yoshua, but they entered in the area near Yericho. Gilgal is the name of the place. Yericho is west and just slightly north of Yam HaMelach. In fact, you can even see on the map, Yam HaMelach, it says Arvot Yericho there, right near the top, the northern tip of Yam HaMelach. So right around there, right where the Mem of Midbar Yehudah is, somewhere around there is the city of Yericho. And that's the point at which they were going to be crossing into Eretz Canaan. They were currently found in the area that we call today the Negev, to the southwest of Yam HaMelach. So they could have traveled straight north and entered from the south. But for whatever reasons, the plan was that they were going to enter from the east. And that means, if you look at the map, that in order to get to their point at which they were going to enter Eretz Canaan, they would have to travel through the lands of several different kingdoms. They'd have to travel through the lands of Edom, and then Moab, and Ammon, which for some reason they don't even really, for some reason it's not really listed here on this map, but Ammon is to the northeast of Moab. And north of Ammon is the land of Sichon. Sichon Melech Amori. And these nations were sort of in the way, on the path that Am Yisrael would have to cross. And Am Yisrael winds up dealing with several of these nations. There's a dealings with the kingdom of Edom, and there are dealings with Moab and Ammon, and then with Sichon Melech Amori. The dealings that Am Yisrael has with these various kingdoms are presented to us in two different places in the Torah from two different perspectives. You read it in Sefer Bamidbar one way, and then we'll take a look at Sefer Dvarim and we'll see that it's presented to us very differently. And I think once we compare the two, we'll get some insight into the background for the story of Bilam. So let's read first the Psukim in Sefer Bamidbar. Okay? So you can have the map in front of you to see what's going on. The Jewish people are south and west of the map that you have here at the present time. And we read the following. Bamidbar Perikhaf Pasuk Yudalit. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. Ko Amar Achicha Yisrael. Why does it call them Achicha? Who's Edom? Edom is Esau. So they're cousins, as it were. So he says, Ko Amar Achicha Yisrael. Ataya Data Et Kol Atla'a Hashem Etza'atnu. Vayered Avotenu Mitzrayimah Vaneshev Mitzrayim Yamim Rabim. Vayareyu Lanu Mitzrayim Vela Avotenu. Vanitzakel Hashem Vayishma Kolenu. Vayishlach Malach Vayotziyanu Mitzrayim. Vine anachnu v'kadesh ir k'tzei gvulecha. Okay, Moshe gives him a whole sob story. You know what a hard time we've had. We're your old long-lost relatives, and we've been suffering for so many decades and centuries, and now we're sitting here in Kadesh at the border of your country. Na'abra na be'artzecha. We would like permission to pass through your land. Lo na'avor b'sadeu v'cherem. We're not going to take any food. We're not going to drink any water. Derech HaMelech Nelech. Okay, you have here on the map a line that shows you the ancient road called Derech HaMelech, the straight road on top of the mountains, straight through your land. We just want to travel through on the highway, straight through. We're not going to lo nitei yamin u'smol. Ad asher na'avor b'gvulecha. Vayomer elav Edom. Lo ta'avor bi. Pen b'cherev etzei likrotecha. Now the reaction of Edom here is somewhat puzzling. And I'll tell you why. Let's go back 40 years and ask ourselves a question. 40 years earlier, or 39 and a half years earlier, Am Yisrael had left Mitzrayim. And in the process, they had been the cause of the destruction of the entire Egyptian army, and to a large extent, the entire Egyptian society. And this was a fact that was well known throughout the world. How do I know this was a fact that was well known throughout the world? What? It says so. Very good. In the Shirat Hayah, not only does it tell us that the other nations heard about it, but it also tells us what their reaction was, which was absolute fear. Right? Shamu amim yirgazun. Chil. Which means fear. Achaz yoshvei plashet. Az nivhalu alufei Edom. Elei Moav yochazemo ra'ad. Namogu kol yoshvei chna'an. 40 years earlier, all nations that were inhabiting the area that Am Yisrael was now approaching had been gripped with absolute terror upon hearing, because Mitzrayim, don't forget, Mitzrayim was the regional superpower, maybe the international superpower, one of the mightiest nations in the world. And Am Yisrael had destroyed Mitzrayim. So Shamu Amin Yir Gazun. They were terrified. And now 40 years later, it seems perhaps that at least Edom has, for some reason, the courage, the audacity to challenge Bnei Yisrael. Or maybe they were motivated by fear. Maybe they were afraid if we let them in, maybe they're just trying to sneak in. They don't want to have to fight on the borders. They're going to come into our country and then they're going to destroy us. We better not let them in. But in any case, Edom says no. Vayomer elav Edom lo ta'avor bi. Pen b'cherev etzei likrotecha. And if there's a threat, you better not come into the land or we're going to attack you. Not just no, but don't you dare. So Moshe Rabbeinu sends back a second message. Okay, you won't let us take the Derech HaMelech. You won't let us take the main highway. Maybe there's a back road. It's more difficult. Maybe you'll let us take that road. If you're worried that we're going to just wind up drinking your water, we'll promise to pay for it. All we want is permission to pass through. Vayomer lo tavor, vayitze Edom likrato ba'am kaved uv'yad chazakah. And Edom says, no way. And they bring their troops, and they move the troops out to the border, and they're standing there with a large army braced for battle. Vayema'ein Edom nitonet Yisrael avor b'gvulo. And Edom refused to allow Am Yisrael to pass through. Vayet Yisrael me'alav. And so Am Yisrael turns away. Now imagine that you are Melech Edom, or even more so, imagine that you are Balak Melech Moab. And we know that Moab also, a generation ago, had been very, very frightened. Namogu, what did it say? Az nivhalu alufei Edom, elei Moab yochazemo ra'ad. Elei Moab yochazemo ra'ad. Moab also had been terrified of Am Yisrael. And presumably, we can assume that Moab had their intelligence agencies watching the movements of these people, slowly, over the last 4 decades, gradually approaching their territory. And now, the neighboring country, Edom, has a confrontation with these people, and the people indicate that they want to pass through Edom. And by the way, if you pass through Edom, where do you get to next? Moab. So Balak, Melech Moab, must have been quite frightened when he heard that Am Yisrael was planning to pass through Edom. But then he sees Edom actually stands up to Am Yisrael and threatens battle, and Am Yisrael, instead of fighting, turns away. What does Balak say to himself now? Strange, right? Okay, let's see what happens next. Okay, the next parsha here talks about the death of Aaron. We can skip this. It's not relevant to our discussion. Skip over now. Skip to the beginning of Perek Chaf Aleph. And here we read the following. Vayishma ha-Kna'ani melech Arad, Yoshev ha-Negev, Hida Yisrael derech ha-Atarim, Vayilachem bi-Yisrael, Vayishb mimenu shevi. Okay, now we read about the king of Arad, a small country, a small city-state, really, Kna'ani, who attacks Yisrael, and even captures some people. Vayida Yisrael nedel Hashem vayomari matom titen et ha'am hazeh biyadi vacharamti et arihem vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael vayiten et ha'Kna'ani vayacharem etem v'et arihem vayikra shem ha'makom chorma. So after running away from Edom, or at least appearing to run away from Edom, Am Yisrael is attacked by the Kna'ani, Melech Arad, but Arad is not a mighty nation like Edom and Moab. And this time, Am Yisrael responds, because they were attacked, and destroys Arad. So now what's Balak thinking? They didn't start up with a dome, even though I thought they could have. They destroyed Mitzrayim. So I thought they'd make mincemeat out of a dome, but they didn't. Arad starts up with them, and they made mincemeat out of him. But he's just thinking little Arad. Why didn't they start up with Edom? In any case, they're getting closer to me. Okay, now we can skip to Pasuk Yud. The story of the Nachash Nechoshet is also not relevant to our discussion right now. We'll read the following. Pasuk Yud, Vayisume Ovot, Vayachanu Bi'iye Ha'avarim Bamidbar Asher Al Pnei Moav Minizrach Hashamesh. The people then traveled to the east of... What happened was, they had to travel, since they couldn't go through Edom, they had to go around Edom, all the way to the east where it says Midbar Gadol. And they also traveled through what's called Midbar Moav. In other words, they simply traveled south and to the east, through the desert. They didn't enter the populated areas of Edom, nor did they enter the populated areas of Moab. And they came... And they camped on the east of Moab, Misham Nasa'u, Vayachanu b'Nachal Zared. They camped at Nachal Zared, which you can see is already getting towards the northern part of Moab. Misham Nasa'u, Vayachanu me'ever Arnon, Asher b'Midbar, Hayotzei migvul ha'emori, Ki Arnon gvul Moab, Bein Moab, Uvein ha'emori. So basically, what did Am Yisrael do as far as Moab is concerned? They got closer, but they bypassed the whole country. As they came from the southeast, passed straight along the east and camped at the northern border. So now what's Balak thinking? They're getting closer. It's true what Shoshana's saying. But they didn't attack from the south, and they didn't attack from the east. And now they're camped in the north. Maybe they're going to attack from the north? I don't know. Okay. But now look what happens next. You can skip to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Mayishlach Yisrael Malachim El Sichon Melech HaEmori Lemor E'ebra Bi'artzecha Lo Nitab B'Sadeu V'Cherem Lo Nishtab Mei Be'er V'Derech HaMelech Nelech Ad Hashem Na'avor Gvulecha. Which direction is Bnei Israel interested in going now? Further north. And you're Balak Melech Moab, sitting in Moab, and you're saying to yourself, what's going on here? They approached Edom to my south. Edom threatened them, and they backed down. They walked around Edom. They walked straight around Moab. Yeah, they dealt with Melech Arad when he started up with them. But other than that, they completely avoided Edom, and they completely avoided me. They didn't even talk to me. They just walked right around me. And now they're trying to continue on their way further north, and they're asking the same kind of permission from Sichon that they asked for from the king of Edom. So apparently these people, you're starting to think, are not really interested in attacking you. I don't know why. Maybe they're not as strong as I thought. Maybe something's happened. You know, it's a new generation. These aren't the people, after all, that defeated Paro Melech Mitzrayim. These are their children. Who knows what's happened in 40 years? But apparently these people, okay, fine, it's a large nation, and they can take care of Melech Arad, who's stupid, to start up with them, perhaps. But apparently, they're not as big a threat as I thought. Edom threatened them, and they backed down right away, and they didn't even approach me. They walked right past me. And now they're begging for permission to go through Sichon Melech, to go through the land of Sichon. So now Balak, Melech Moab, we can assume, is starting to calm down and is starting to relax a little bit and begin to feel that the fear that he had felt of Am Yisrael previous to this was perhaps unjustified. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to push the pause button on Sefer Bamidbar, and we're going to turn for a minute to Sefer Dvarim. In Dvarim, the exact same events are recorded. But the difference is that here the Torah tells us what happened, what we just read in Bamidbar. The Torah tells us what happened from the perspective of the inhabitants of Canaan, Edom and Sichon, and particularly Moab. In Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats to Am Yisrael the same events, but he tells Am Yisrael these events from his perspective. And now we find out the real story. The story that Balak Melech Moab did not hear. This is Dvarim Perek Bet. Pasuk Bet. This is Moshe Rabbeinu now recounting the events we've just read to Bnei Israel. And he says to them, Vayomer Hashem Elai Lemor, Rab Lachem Sobet Tahar Azeh, Pnu Lachem Tzafona. He's going back to when they were sitting in Kadesh. And he says, Hashem said to me, all right, enough sitting around this mountain. Time to turn to the north. V'yata'am tzav lemor. Tell the people the following. Atem ovrim b'gvul acheichem b'nei Esav hayoshvim b'seir v'yir'u mikem. Hashem tells the people of B'nai Israel, what do the people of Edom think about you right now? I'm telling you right now, when you approach Edom, they will fear you. V'yir'umikem. However, v'nishmartem me'od. Al titgaru vam. Ki lo eten lachem me'artzam ad midrach kaf ragel. Ki Yerusha le'esav. Natati etar se'ir. You have no right to attack them, even the slightest bit. You will not inherit an iota of their territory. Har se'ir belongs to Bnei Esav. Ochel tishberu me'itam b'kesef v'achaltem, v'gamayim tichru me'itam b'kesef v'shtitem. You can buy food from them, you can buy water from them, if they allow you to pass through, you can, but you cannot start up with them, because you will not conquer them. Chai say it belongs to Esav, at least until Mashiach comes. Chazal say, at least according to one opinion, in Chazal, that Yimot Mashiach will capture the territory of Esav. But, it's actually based on a Pasuk. Rashi quotes it in the end of Parshat, at the end, in Parshat Vayishlach, when Yaakov met Esav, and they had their whole meeting there, and then Esav invited Yaakov to come settle with him in Har Seir, and Yaakov said, listen, you know, I got a lot of children, and I got a lot of camels and animals, and it takes me a long time. You go home, and I'll catch up behind you. So Esav left, and Yaakov never really got there. Right? He didn't go to Har Seir. So Rashi, they're close to Midrash, so when's he going to show up? He's going to show up. When's he going to show up? The Navi Ovadia told us that, what does it say? Right, thank you. V'alu Moshiim b'har Tzion, v'shpot et har Esav, v'itel Hashem v'mucha. Yaakov told Esav, I'm coming. He still hasn't gotten there yet, but don't worry, he'll get there one day. When he gets there, v'shpot et har Esav. Latid level. But anyway, so Esav was told, so Bnei Esav was told, you're not allowed to start up with Esav. If they let you through, fine, but if not, you're not allowed to start up with him. So it says, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes on in Pasuk Chet, V'navor me'et achenu Bnei Esav v'yoshvim miseim derech Arava, me'ilatu me'etzion gaver, v'neifin v'navor derech midbar Moab. Okay, so they weren't allowed to go through Edom, they had to go around the whole Edom, all the way to the south, and all the way around to the east, and that's why. Vayomer Hashem Elai continues in Pasuk Tet. Al tatzar et Moav. Ve'al tidgar ba milchama. Ki lo etem lecha me'arzo Yerusha. Ki livne lot natati et ar Yerusha. After you pass by Edom, which you're not allowed to touch, the next country you're going to encounter is the land of Moav. But Hashem told us, Moshe Rabbeinu explains, don't start up with Moav either. Why? Because you're not going to get their land either. Moav is b'nei lot. And I've given Bnei Lot the land also, and you're not allowed to take their land either. So he says, Pasuk Yudgimel, Atakumu v'ivru lachem et Nachal Zared, v'na'avor et Nachal Zared. And then we have in Pasuk Yudzayim, v'idaber Hashem elai lemor, Ata over ayom et gvu Moav et Ar, v'karav tamu Bnei Amon. After passing by Moav, you're going to get near the land of Amon. Al titzurein, al titgaber ban, ki lo aten me'aretz b'nei Amon mecha Yerusha, ki livnei lot, natati Yerusha. The same way that we're not permitted to attack Edom, we're not permitted to attack Moab, and we're not permitted to attack Amon. B'nei Esav were given Har Seir, b'nei lot, Amon and Moab were given their areas, and the land of Ar, And therefore, we're not allowed to touch them. Pasuk Chavdal. After that, Hashem said to Moshe, "Kumu se'u v'ivru et Nachal Arnon, re'ei natati v'yadcha tzichon melech Heshbon Amori, v'etarzo hachel rash." V'hit garbo milchama. Unlike the lands of Edom and Moab and Ammon, which Bnei Israel were told you're not allowed to start up with them, when it came to the land of Sichon, Melech Heshbon HaEmori, Bnei Israel were told start up with them because you're going to conquer them. Hayom hazeh achel teit pachtechav yiratcha pnei ha'amim tachat kol ha'shamayim. Today, I'm going to instill fear in the nations. Because the fact that you avoided conquering, based on the divine command, the lands of Edom and Moab and Ammon, leads the people no longer to fear you. But do not worry, Hashem says to Moshe. Now you're going to start up with Sichon, and you're going to defeat Sichon. Asher yishmeun shimacha v'ragzu v'chalu mipanacha. And they're going to be afraid of you. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood The reason why he did not attack Edom, Moab, and Ammon is because Hashem has protected those nations, at least for the time being. They are allowed to maintain their land, and Am Yisrael is not going to inherit that land. And Moshe Rabbeinu also understood that when he gets to the land of Sichon, Melech Amori, everything's going to be different. Well, if they would have allowed him to pass through, that would have been okay. They're not allowed to fight with them. They're allowed to ask permission. Apparently not. Also, if you look at the map, there would have been no real point in, once he's already on the eastern side of the mountains, there's no real need to pass through Moab. But with Sichon, apparently the request to pass through is a pretext. Because he's really not going to just pass through, he's really going to attack. We know all of this. But Balak Melech Moab did not. Now let's go back to where we were before in Parshat Chukah. So I'm back to Bamidbar Chav Aleph. Again, Balak Melech Moab is sitting in the palace in Moab, nervously watching all these developments, watching as Am Yisrael gradually approaches him, strangely and unexpectedly is deterred by Edom, turns away, completely avoids his country, completely avoids the neighboring country of Ammon, passes all the way around it, and is now asking for permission to continue on its way further north, you know, to distance himself from his land. And Balak seems to now be calming down a little bit, as we know, because the Pasuk in Dvarim told us, Hashem says, I'm going to need to instill fear again. Balak Melech Moab is starting to feel a little bit comfortable. Either they're afraid of me, or they're not really a threat. Maybe this whole thing was some kind of, maybe the whole thing was a paper tiger. They're not really, maybe they're not really anything. They don't really have an army. I don't know what happened to Paro, but maybe they just got lucky. I don't know. I heard about some strange natural disasters that happened in Mitzrayim a generation ago. There's all these stories about, I don't know, frogs and lights and water, winds blowing and water spilling on it. Who knows what happened back there? But apparently it's not such a threat. And now look what happens next. Pasuk Chafal. Now again, we know that things are about to change. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that things were about to change, but Balak did not. Vayishlach Yisrael malachim al Sichon melech Amori le'mor ed rabi atzecha lo nitev v'sadeu v'cherem lo nishtem me'ber v'derech ha'melech melech ad asher na'avor gvulecha. V'lo natan Sichon et Yisrael avor b'gvulo v'ye'esof Sichon et kol hamo v'yeitze likrat Yisrael ha'midbara v'yavo yatza v'yilachem v'Yisrael. Yatza is on your map, and you see that Sichon started a fight with Yisrael. Vayakehu Yisrael lefi charev, vayirash et arzo me'arnon ad Yabok. Nachal Yabok is near the top of the map. Yisrael captured the entire land ad bnei Ammon, ki az gvul bnei Ammon. Okay, you see Rabat Ammon there near the top. Bnei Yisrael did not encroach on the land of Ammon, and again, it says here because Ammon had a very strong border. But we know the real reason why Israel did not attack Ammon. Right? It's not because Bnei Israel was concerned with strong borders, but because they weren't allowed to attack Ammon. But again, these psukim here in Bamidbar are told from the perspective of what a bystander like Balak would see. So he sees that they go and they attack all the lands of Sichon, but not Bnei Ammon. ויקח ישראל את כל הערים האלה, וישב ישראל בכל ערי האמורי בחשבון ובכל בנותיה. Okay, this is the land that eventually became the Nachalah of Shevet Reuven. They go ahead and they capture this entire territory and they settle their people in the cities of the Amori. כי חשבון עיר סיחון מלך האמורי היא. והוא נלחם במלך מואב הראשון. It turns out that the land of Sichon originally had belonged to Moab. And Sichon Melech Amori, who nilcham b'melech Moab harishon? He had fought with the first king of Moab, and he had captured some of Moab's territory up until Nachal Arnon. Okay, does anyone remember from Sefer Shoftim the complaint that later happened here, right? You may recall that the king of Ammon started up with Bnei Yisrael and he said, you took my land, right? Remember this? Bnei Yisrael said, it wasn't really your land. We got it from Sichon. Right? Because we know, again, Bnei Israel weren't allowed to capture the lands of Ammon and Moab, but since Sichon had captured first, the Gemara explains this, since Sichon captured first, so then Bnei Israel were allowed to capture that part from Sichon. It had originally been Moab's land. Sichon captured it from Moab, and now Bnei Israel captured it from Sichon. Okay, and then we have this little poem here. Alken yomu ha-moshlim bo cheshbon tibanev tikonen ir Sichon. Ki esh yatsa mi-cheshbon lehava mi-kiryat Sichon. Achla ar Moab balei bamot Arnon. Oy lecha Moab avadita am kimosh. Kemosh was the god of Moab. They'd been lost. Natan bin Banav Pleitim uvnotah bashvit lemelech Emori Sichon. Okay, so there was this whole song about how Sichon had destroyed Moab, and Abnei so captured the land of Sichon. And then it goes on and tells us, Lamed Gimel, Vayifnu vayalu derech HaBashan. After capturing the land of Sichon, Bnei Israel continued further north to the land of Og Melech HaBashan. Okay, the Bashan is today's Golan Heights. Further north. Edrei is already not even on our map. Further north. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Al tirah oto, ki v'yad chanatati oto v'kol amov etarso, v'asita lo, kashu asita l'sichon melecha emori asher yoshe b'cheshbon, v'yaku oto v'et banav v'et kol amov ad bilti ish'ir lo sarid, by Yeshua Tetzel. Okay, so now Bnei Israel wiped out Sichon Melech Emori and continued further north to the land of Og Melech HaBashan and wiped it out too. And we know from later Psukim that Og Melech HaBashan was a pretty scary guy. His bed was a tourist attraction because it was so big. He was such a big guy. Right? People used to call afterwards to see his, they brought his bed that he used to sleep in to Amon. Torah tells us this. It's Pasuk in the Torah. And it was a huge bed that people, it was like a thing to go see how big this guy Og had been. And he was a mighty warrior, and they wiped him out also. So now, put yourself back in the mind of Balak. If you were confused before, you're even more confused now. Bnei Israel did not start up with Edom. They were even appeared to be frightened away from Edom. They did not start up with Moab, they did not start up with Ammon. When they were attacked by Haknani Melech Arad, they defeated him. But the Melech Arad may not have been so powerful. Then they were attacked by Sichon, and they defeated Sichon, and then afterwards they defeated Og. Now, who was stronger? Sichon or Moab? Sichon, how do you know?
Were they their defenders?
Because they captured land from Moab, right? Who nilcham b'melech Moab harishon? So Balak knows that he's not strong, that he's weaker than Sichon Melech Emori. Because Melech Emori had captured his land, and he didn't go and capture it back. So basically, Bnei Israel just beat up the guy who beat him up. And Og also was a mighty warrior. So now it turns out that Bnei Israel, after all, must not be weak. They just defeated Sichon and Og. Countries that Balak himself would never dare to start up with. Bnei Israel demolished them, just like they had done to Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. So it's a mystery. I was right all along. They are dangerous. 40 years ago, they demolished Mitzrayim. And now they demolished Sichon and Og. But for some reason, they left me alone. And again, you and I know why. Balak did not. So he must be getting nervous again. And very, very confused. And then look what happens next. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So now Bnei Israel are way to the north of him, right? They've conquered Sichon, they've conquered Og, they're up there in the Golan. Maybe he thinks they're on their way to Damascus, he doesn't know where they're going. And all of a sudden, in the beginning of Perek Chavet, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael v'yachanu be'arvot Moav me'ever la'yarden Yerecho. after establishing, you know, their hold on the lands of Sihon and Og, they turn back to the south, come back south, and camp where? Arvot Moab, right outside, back again, on the border of Moab. And now put yourself in Balak's head. Now what are you thinking? Now you're convinced that you're next, and what emotion are you feeling? Scared is not the word. You are terrified. You are trembling with fear. What?
Moab doesn't seem to be up to Jericho.
I vote Moab.
But even the top of Moab, you said there was Ammon in between Moab and...
No, Ammon is a bit to the east. The border of, the northern border of Moab is Arnon. Nachal Arnon. After that is the land of Sihon, which they captured from Moab. And now Bnei Israel come back down and they camp in Arvot Moab. So you're right. They didn't come all the way back down to Nachal Arnon, but they're moving back in that direction again. Right? They passed right by Moab. He thought he was safe. They went north. They demolished Sihon, which freaked him out because Sihon was much more powerful than he was. They continued past Sihon further north to Og Melech HaBashan. So maybe he was probably very, very confused and very frightened, but he also figured they're not interested in him for some reason. Next thing he knows, they make a U-turn and come right back down, and he's convinced he's next. He doesn't know what to do. Vayar Balak ben Tzipor et kol asher asa Yisrael la'emori. Vayagor Moav mipnei ha'am me'od kiravu. Vayakatz Moav mipnei b'nei Yisrael. And here it tells us what we already figured out. And what Hashem had told Moshe, we read in Dvarim, was going to happen. Balak is now absolutely terrified. Vayomer Moav el ziknei Midian. So Moav turns to Midian, who are their allies, and they say the following. Ata yelachaku akahal et kol svivotenu, kilcho chashor et yerek hasadeh. They have wiped out everything around us like an ox eats grass. They just ate them up. Everything around us. Sihon and Og. Uvalak ben Tzipor melech Moav baitai. Vayishlach malachim el Bil'am ben Beor Petora. Asher al hanahar. Eretz bnei Amo l'krolo. So Balak turns to Bil'am, who lives in a place called Petor, which is nowhere near here, a totally different part of the world, Mesopotamia, somewhere between Turkey and Iraq, somewhere over there. And he sends to Bil'am ben Beor. And here's what he says to him. Hinei am yatsa mi Mitzrayim. Hinei chisa et ein haaretz. They cover the whole face of the land. They're massive. We're talking about a nation of about 3 million people, 2.5 to 3 million people. The number 600,000 is just men over the age of 20. So if you add women and children, you're talking about somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. Very large nation. V'hu yoshev mimuli. V'ata says Balak to Bil'am, L'chana ara li ata amaze. Curse them. Ki atzum hu mimeni, ulai uchal nakebo, v'agarshenu min haaretz. Maybe if you curse them, I'll be able to attack them and defeat them. Ki yadati et asher tivarech mevorach v'asher ta'or you are. You're the man. I've learned, I know, that you have special powers, and I want you to help me. Now, why he turned to Bil'am is a fascinating question. First of all, who was Bil'am? So it's very interesting. Bil'am is described differently in different places in Tanakh. He describes himself, we'll see, if you want to peek ahead at Perek Chaf Dalet, He describes himself as Hagever Shetum Ha'ayin Shomea Imrekel Asher Machazesh Shakaya Chazeh. He describes himself as someone who hears the voice of God and sees the visions of godly visions. And indeed, he seems to have known a lot. As I said at the outset, he seems to have had great perception. Yet, in Sefer Yehoshua, Bilam is described as a kosem. You know what kosem is? Magic? You know what magic is? Magic is closely connected, although not identical, to Avodah Zarah. We spoke already in this class about how Avodah Zarah is not paganism, is not the primitive, childish beliefs that we may have thought when we were children, but it's actually a very sophisticated ideology of a world that's controlled by competing forces in a sort of a chaotic system where nobody's really in charge. The Kosem, the magician, studies these forces, understands, or believes he understands, and perhaps actually does, something about how the universe works, and learns how to harness these forces to his own benefit. He knows how to manipulate the various spiritual forces that control the world and accomplish things. So Kesem is very closely related to the ideology of Avodah Zarah. And although Bilam seems to have been different than your average kosem, Bilam does apparently know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll see that Bilam uses the four-letter name of God, which is usually used only by Am Yisrael. And Bilam does seem to be in direct contact with Hashem. Nevertheless, we will see that although Bilam, and Bilam at times becomes an Avi Emet, as he himself testifies and as the Torah seems to recognize, and Chazal even tell us, Lo kam bi Yisrael Navi od kimoshe, but among the Goyim on a certain, in a certain level, in a certain way, Bilam was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, it will become clear to us in the classes that follow, that although Bilam did understand a lot about Hashem and about truth, he was really a kosem. He never fully internalized the message that there's one God who controls this world, and that nobody and nothing has more power than him. Not only that, has no power, more power, that he's the source of all power. This is something that Bilam never fully internalized. Now, why does Balak turn to Bilam? Think about it. What?
He's his ally.
No, he's not. No, Midian was his ally. Bilam is a guy who lives far, far away. He approached him with an offer. He offers to pay him afterwards. He's been called in Bilam as a specialist. He's not connected to this at all. Dina.
Maybe because Balak notices that this isn't like a normal mission.
Excellent.
It's really supernatural
that
we have to call in other powers.
Balak says to himself, first of all, what are my options here? Attack them on the battlefield? I haven't the slightest chance. They destroyed Paro. More directly, they destroyed Sichon. Sichon had captured my land and I wasn't able to get it back. So if they could destroy Sichon, I don't have a chance against them. So first of all, to attempt to defeat them militarily, Balak realizes is fruitless and suicidal. But I think Dean is correct. Balak also analyzes the situation and says, I don't get it. How in the world are they doing this? They don't have an army like Mitzrayim had. They don't have an army like Sichon had. They don't have chariots, which would be the equivalent today of having an army tanks. They don't have trained soldiers. They were slaves. There's no way. Even if this Moshe guy is a great general, there's just no way that through simple military strategy, they'd have even a chance against these nations that they defeated. It's clear. And perhaps he heard other things about them. These people were eating man for 40 years. He heard about the supernatural things that happened in Mitzrayim. He realized that their power must be a spiritual power. But he doesn't understand what true spirituality is. When Balak, as a pagan, thinks of spirituality, he thinks of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, he assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu must be a really good what? Kosen. Exactly. And so he says, there's one guy I've heard of who's just as good as Moshe. And he's Bilam. So he turns to Bilam and says, I need you on my side. Look at what has been set up for us here, girls. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged all this. What we're about to see here is a showdown. Because if you think about it, Balak has come to an understanding of what happened here on a certain level. Balak realizes that the power that Bnei Israel used to defeat their enemies and the power that he fears, we realize that he had nothing to fear, but he didn't know that. The power that he fears is going to be directed against him, he realizes is a spiritual one. But he has a very different conception of spirituality. And so basically the confrontation that's about to happen of Bilam coming to curse Bnei Israel is basically a confrontation between two competing Hashkafot Olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu set this up. And look carefully. Look at the expression that Balak used when he approached Bilam. He said to him, you know why I need you to come and help me? Ki yadati et asher tivarech mivorach Nasher Ta'or, you are. Girls, have you heard that before? Where? Abraham. What does Hashem say to Abraham? V'avarcha mevarchecha u'mikalelcha a'or. What's the true source of bracha? Anyone who blesses Am Yisrael is blessed, and anyone who curses Am Yisrael is cursed. That's the truth. And Balak, who doesn't know that, winds up using the same terminology exactly. And he says, Yadati. He thinks Yadati. He thinks he knows. Bilam, et asher tivarech mivorach, v'asher ta'or you are. He thinks Bilam is the ultimate controller of bracha and klala. But we know that it's the exact opposite. Am Yisrael is the ultimate controller. Not that they even control. The control... What controls bracha uklala is how you interface with Am Yisrael. So look what's happening. Balak turns to Bilam and he said, I need you to curse them, because I know, et asher tivarech mevarach v'asher ta'or you are. You curse them, your word creates klala. But Hashem had already said about Avraham, v'avarcha mevarchecha u'mikalelcha a'or. So who's going to win? Who really controls bracha uklala? Balak doesn't know it. But he's just been maneuvered into a situation where there's a direct showdown between two opposite hashkafot olam. One is the message of what Am Yisrael is coming to bring. The message that there's one borei olam and that he controls everything. And the other is the worldview of paganism, of Avodah Zarah, of Kesem. And Balak appeals to Bilam, asking him to come and defeat Am Yisrael, something which ultimately, and to defeat it with a curse, something which ultimately is impossible. The showdown, the stage is set. Next week we'll see how Bilam responds, and we'll try to figure out whether Bilam understands or doesn't understand, and how ultimately he gets drawn into this confrontation.